Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome back to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. We are in our conclusion, part two of our two-part interview with Dr. D. Stokes. Now, if you missed any of yesterday's interview, you need to go back and catch up because it was awesome. And she covered things, and we just don't have time to recover all the ground that we covered yesterday. But let me tell you a little bit about D. She is a longtime friend of our ministry. She's been on our podcast before. D is a spiritual leader and advisor who focuses on ministry and purposeful leadership and kingdom education as she works to build influential people who can change the world. She spent 18 years as a college-level basketball coach before giving all that up just to answer the call of God on her life. Now, she is awesome. She has prior students that are now coaches at high levels of basketball. But more than that, she is a spiritual advisor, a pastor of a church. She is a speaker, a public speaker. She's a coach in leadership circles. Folks, you need to pay attention to what she has to say. Now, join us now as we conclude our interview with Dr. D. Stokes. Amen. Tell me about Center Court Leadership Training. What is that all about?
Well, you know, I have that on my website, but I don't do a ton of that. But I got that idea, obviously, from the basketball court.
Right.
And so, basically, it's based on the premise that in sports, you have boundary lines. And so, you have to stay in bounds.
Okay.
And if you go out of bounds, the official is going to blow his or her whistle and say, you're in violation. Right? And also in sports, there are rules, right? Not just the boundary lines of rules, but other rules, fouls and flags and illegalities in sports. Well, in the spirit, those are there as well. There are illegalities in the spirit. There are boundaries in the spirit.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And the great referee above is going to blow his whistle.
Amen.
When we step out of bounds and when we break the rules. And what I love about God is his providence, his sovereignty in our lives. You know, when we do get out of bounds, he will be there to sort of push us back.
Right.
People always say that Jonah was going to get to Nineveh one way or the other, right? God just happened to put him in a whale, ship him to Nineveh, and spit him right out where he was supposed to be.
Right where he's supposed to be. I just preached on that one 2 weeks ago. That's why I said we're so tied together spiritually. I mean, it's just amazing, you know, the same thoughts. That's awesome. Yeah, I just preached the same thing. I said God put him in a living organic submarine and shipped him right back where he was supposed to go.
Right there where he was supposed to go.
Amen. That's awesome.
And we can try to get off track, but I'm going to tell you what. We make our plans, but God's plans prevail.
Amen.
And, Jesus.
Yes, that's right. Amen. That glory. That's great. Now, you speak about intentionality in leadership. Can you explain a little bit about that?
Yeah. There actually is this company called Intentional Leadership, so I had to change my verbiage because theirs is copyrighted. But, just being intentional, one of the things that I try to emphasize is there are times where you don't want to lead. I mean, there literally are times when I don't want to lead.
Right.
And here are examples. Like, you know, you could hear the Lord saying this by his spirit, send somebody a text message to encourage them. And you're like, look, I'm in the bed, I'm watching TV, I'm doing my own thing, I'm eating dinner or whatever. And you're like, I don't want to do it. But yet there are times, and I'm not saying don't have boundaries because we need to have boundaries, but there are times where the Holy Spirit is whispering for a reason,
mm-hmm.
and that person is going through something, and they just needed you to be intentional and to reach out and lead. And it doesn't come at the most opportune times. But yet, that small little gesture to literally save somebody from committing suicide, from turning the wrong way, from having an argument with somebody, from doing the wrong, whatever it might be, literally could. You know, I have a lot of dreams, and when I dream about people, I usually reach out to them, and 9 times out of 10, they are going through something. It doesn't have to be bad all the time.
Yeah.
But, because my dreams aren't always bad. They're just, I'm just dreaming about people, you know, and Lord, the Lord is putting them on my heart to one, to pray for them, and two, to reach out to them, and, you know, and inevitably it is something going on. So we just have to be intentional in our leadership. I just use that as an example, as just something that when the Lord says do something, just do it. Yeah, just be intentional.
A good friend of mine, this is probably 10, 15 years ago this occurred, but you know, he was going through a tough time, and you know, he was an alcoholic, and you know, things had just spun out of control. His wife left him, took the kids and left, and you know, he was sitting there in an empty apartment and just had, you know, totally given up, was going to take his life, sitting there with his bottle of whiskey just down on that, and then loaded the gun and put the gun to his head. And as he was getting ready to pull the trigger, the phone rang, and he looked down,
there
and it was his father. Now, he and his father were not really on speaking terms, I guess you could say. You know, hadn't spoke to each other in like 2 years. And he looked down, it was his father's, you know, caller ID. So he put the gun down, answered the phone, and said, "Hey, son, tell me what's going on." And he told him, you know, what was on. And his father talked him down, you know, from the ledge. And he went and ended up getting some help. And that was, you know, 10, 15 years ago, whatever it was. But you know, hadn't talked to each other in 6 years or whatever it was, 2 years. I can't remember the whole story now. But the point was, out of the blue, his dad called at the exact moment God needed him to get a hold of his son, you know. And he, like you said, you know, the Holy Spirit puts someone on your heart and wants you to move towards them for a reason. And what if dad would have said, "Well, you know, let me go ahead and take a shower, and then I'll go ahead and do it."
Absolutely. You know, his feet would have been gone.
Yeah, it would have been too late. But so, that, yeah, you got to follow the promptings. And it's happened to me before where I'd be, you know, driving down the road and somebody would come to my mind, and I'll send a text with, "Hey, you know, Lord had you on my mind. Just want to tell you, you know, how blessed I am that we're friends," and da-da-da-da. And, you know, I usually get a response back like, "Wow, thank you. I needed to hear that," type thing.
I mentioned it. I brought it up. But there is this spirit of suicide lurking in the United States. It's probably everywhere, really.
Yeah.
And I pray against it so much. I was reading about a young lady who's 23, an Olympic medalist, who I guess had attempted several times, and she was a triplet. And I can only imagine how her siblings are feeling right now, but she finally, succeeded and was in college, and it was in her dorm room. And, it just, it's hard for me to understand, but it's there, and we just need to pray against that, spirit, because it is taking young people. It's taking old people. I actually did a fundraiser for my birthday a few weeks ago for the, for a suicide prevention network, and because the actor Christoph, he recently committed suicide, but I guess he had contemplated it before, maybe even attempted it before. They lost his son, and he just went downhill. And you know, there are people who just don't have hope. And those are those people. They don't have hope. And mental illness is real as well. And we in the church have got to stop saying it's a spiritual issue all the time. And it could very well be. But we also need to recognize that mental illness is an illness just like cancer or anything else. And we need to point people to, if you're listening today and you're suffering from mental illness, don't be ashamed. Just pray, seek God, and seek professional help here on the earth. It's not, don't let it be a stigma. I speak to you today that if you're going through something, reach out and pick up the phone and call somebody. It is okay. It is okay.
About 2 years ago, maybe 2.5 years ago, I'm on several different forums, of course, you know, on social media, and one of the websites that I haven't probably been on there in a year or so, but every now and then I'll go on, and it's a forum for military days, you know, look up your old unit, and, you know, people that were in that unit would post stuff, and, you know, I posted, you know, like an update on what I'm doing right now, and someone reached out and said, were you a drill sergeant, a drill instructor at Fort Bliss, Texas? And I said, yes. You know, matter of fact, I was. And he goes, I was in your platoon, first platoon. And I said, oh, okay. I didn't remember them, you know, because, you know, out of probably 3,000 people that came through, you only remember the extremely good ones and the extremely bad ones. But the other 2,950 of them, you don't know. But they say, I was in your platoon, you know, cool, nice talking to you type thing. And I guess I had my email or whatever on there. And somehow he was a truck driver. And he says sometimes he came through Maryland and stuff. So I gave him my phone numbers. Hey, I'd love to have coffee with you if you're ever in town type thing. And about 11:30 at night, normally I'm in bed by 10:30 because I try to get up early. That's my alone time with the Lord first thing in the morning. But for whatever reason that night, I was up as like 11:20. I was just getting ready to go to bed, and my phone rang. And I was like, who the heck's calling me at this time of night? So I answered it, and it was this guy. And I could tell something was wrong. He was like, you know, I can't remember the total situation was, but where it was, he was contemplating suicide and stuff. And, you know, he didn't come right out and say it, but I could sense it. And, you know, I told him, well, you know, pray, let's pray. I'll pray with you right now type thing.
Yeah.
You got to, and as soon as I hung up, the Lord said, get in touch with Suicide Hotline. So I called them and explained to them what the situation was, that was going on. And I said, well, normally we don't call people, they call us. I said, but I'll go ahead and give him a call if I can say that you asked me to intercede in his behalf. Is that okay? I said, absolutely, you know. And then, you know, I waited a few minutes. I said, if there's an issue, call me back. And I didn't get a call back. So about 12:15 or so, I went to bed. And the next morning I got up and there was a text message from him. It was like 3 o'clock in the morning when he sent this text message saying, thank you so much. I talked to those people for like 2 hours and everything's fine now and all that. But that's that's the Holy Spirit leading the intercession on that, you know? What are the odds of someone from 25 years ago reaching out to me because they're ready to commit suicide? You know,
amazing.
You know, but that's amazing. God. But yeah, there is a spirit of suicide prevalent in today's society, and we need to pray against it. I do agree 100%. Now, you do a lot of traveling and speaking. What is one of the major problems you see when speaking that needs to have more exposure and to shed light on that problem?
That's an interesting question. I speak in different forums, so not just in churches. But I think the first thing that pops into my head was the prevailing issue for us is we need to come together as the body of Christ.
Amen.
There's too much territorialism. And separation in the body. We build these monstrosities of churches or little churches, whatever, it doesn't even matter the size, and we become territorial. We do our own thing. We really don't get anybody else involved. And there's just a lot of that going on. It's like, well, I've got to cater to my own congregation. I can't really reach out to other people. And I just don't, where did we get that from?
Right.
I just don't, that's not the Acts 2 church, as far as I can see. So that I preach that a lot. And I also, the other thing I preach is going outside the church and really being the church. Mm. So I don't know if you noticed, dug a little deeper, but I'm involved in a movement called Fresh Expressions of Church. I'm actually a trainer for them. And simply, Fresh Expressions are, we use the term outreach a lot, but that term has really been outplayed because outreach says the church is on one side of the bridge, the community's on the other. We go across the bridge to get the community to bring them back to the church. Mm-hmm. Fresh Expressions says we go across the bridge and we become incarnational. We take the church, meaning us, the people, to them.
Yeah.
Amen. And that we become the church, not just a building that we call a church.
Right.
And so people are establishing Fresh Expressions all over the place. Dog parks, bars, tattoo parlor church. I mean, you name it, it's happening. And what I encourage people to do, and I was just in a meeting the other day saying this, is that if you have something in your heart, just do it and find like-minded people who want to do it. You can have a motorcycle gang church, not necessarily a motorcycle gang, but you know, people who like to ride motorcycles, people who like to bowl, people. I've been coaching some pastors in Ohio. We did some training with them and then they get 6 months of coaching and they just started this dress. Prom dress, Fresh Expression, where there's a need in their community. It's a pride factor that girls don't have the money and families don't have the money to go out and buy these elaborate prom dresses. Mm. So a member of this woman's church comes to her and says, "This is my vision. This is what's on my heart." Well, she had bounced around to other churches and the pastors wouldn't accept what she wanted to do, which I think is crazy.
Yeah.
And so she finally came to the right church with the right person, with the right heart in my mind to empower her. This is your vision. Let's do it. Let's get it started. And so now they get, I don't know where they get all the dresses from, but they get them donated and it's free and you can come and pick out whatever dress you want, and try it on and go to the prom.
Amen.
And so it gives these kids a sense of value. It's amazing the smallest things that we can do in life to actually give people value.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
As simple as having a beautiful prom dress to go to prom.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
As simple as that.
Yeah, amen.
And so Fresh Expressions are popping up all over the place, and it's not a denominational thing. It's being the body of Christ. It's the future for the church and a church for the future.
Amen. Amen. That's awesome. I'm going to put a link to that in our show notes when we get done. Now,
it's in my bio.
Okay. Yeah. When you were on last time, you'd released two books, The Experience Grace, One Woman's Year-Long Journey with God After the Death of Her Mother, and also Chicken Soup for the Soul, the Inside Basketball edition that you wrote in cooperation with Jack Canfield. Since then, I noticed two more books, Break the Box, A Message of Hope and Inspiration, Volumes 1 and 2. First, congratulations on the new books, and can you share a little bit about those books?
Thank you. I don't remember exactly when we talked, but I was probably working on them then.
Probably.
And needed some inspiration and finally finished those books and got those published. So they're devotionals. If you combine the two volumes, they're actually 66 days of devotion because each chapter is based on a book of the Bible.
Amen.
So you start with the Old Testament, and then you move into the New Testament. And so the volumes are broken down like that. So Volume 1 will be all old, Volume 2 all new.
Okay.
And so, so I know a couple people who've gotten back with me that said that it's been a blessing to them. So I would encourage any and everybody to go to Amazon.com, or you can go to my website, dstokes.org, which is going to lead you to Amazon.com to order those books.
Yeah, amen. And how does all this fit into your life coaching and discipleship training?
I don't really use my stuff for that, but and I probably shared this last time, but one of the mandates I felt the Lord, I know He gave me, was to reach back to college coaches, to a group of people I'd been a part of.
Yep.
And so I disciple college coaches is what I do. And it's been such a joy in my life. I'm going on, I started that probably back in 2013 or 14. So I'm going on 5-6 years of doing it now.
Amen.
And some coaches I've had just about that long, and I need to know how to probably get rid of them, push them. I don't know of a better word. I'm trying to get them to start discipling, but we've developed this great relationship where I'm now walking them through jobs, and giving them advice about the next positions they should have. I have one male coach who went from being an assistant coach at the Division I level to being a head coach at the Division II level, then becoming the athletic director as well.
Amen.
And so, and he's a rising star, and now he's working on his doctorate, and just all kinds of good things are happening for him.
Amen.
And so that's been really a thrill for me. And so I continue to do that. I have three coaches now that I'm mentoring, discipling, life coaching, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
That's what we do on a weekly basis.
And that's what I love is you're using your background to continue to minister people from that background. I mean, my background in the military, I've been speaking at a couple of veterans events and things like that. Because again, we go back to, where you came from, you're coming through things, so therefore you can help people who are going through the same situations. Because
right, again, and you just said a mouthful. What you just said is such truth, because I have been approached by business people. Although I own a business, a ministry, but I'm not a business person. I'm an educator. I'm a minister. Sometimes we, all the time we need to stay in our lane is basically what you're saying.
Yeah.
And that's not a bad thing, but we minister to people out of our experiences. And so I've had opportunities to go into the business side of mentoring and discipleship, and had a really significant opportunity. And I turned it down because I heard the Lord say, not now. It's not the time. And it's not that I can't do it, but really it's not really my assignment anyway.
Right.
And so I need to stay in my lane, so to speak.
I agree 100% because, I've been approached, hey, can you do such and such? And that's not really my calling. I can refer you to someone who is in that area, but I'm not going to go down that road. Yeah, I agree 100%.
Sure.
You also have your own publishing company, correct?
Yeah, we started that when I published the last two books. Mm-hmm. I haven't published anybody else's stuff, but if you're interested, you can go to my website. Anybody's interested can go to my website and send me some pages of your manuscript, and we can go from there. I did have somebody approach me with their manuscript, but I didn't think it was advantageous for them to use a publishing company at the time. So, I'm not going to cheat anybody. the cost can be, high at times, but the benefits are great because, I didn't publish books to make money. Don't tell my first publisher that, but, I published books for healing is really why my first book came out. And then to bless anybody, I feel like if I bless one person, it was worth it. And so I know that the books have been a blessing to people. And plus, you just got to get it out sometimes what God has put in your heart.
Yeah.
And I think that's always appropriate to do.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Well, Dee, it sure was nice to catch up with you. I mean, we've been talking, as we said before, on and off Facebook for the last couple of years. And I'm so blessed to be able to call you a friend and sister in the Lord. I may not comment all the time on Facebook, but you're one of the few people that I definitely follow and keep up with, because you're doing some mighty work for the Lord out there. So keep it up. Amen.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much, Bob.
Amen. Folks, I cannot recommend Dr. Dee Stokes' books to you highly enough. I mean, she is a great writer, and her books will touch your soul, guaranteed. I mean, you really need to get a hold of her books. As a matter of fact, get two of each. Bless someone you love with her books as well. I've read them, and I can attest it will touch your soul. Glory to God. Dee, if someone wanted to reach out to you, perhaps to ask a question or to ask you to come and speak or maybe do an interview such as this, how can they get in touch with you?
Well, they can email me if they want me to speak. They can email me at booking@dstokes.org. booking@dstokes.org. If you just want to touch base with me and just say hello, you can go to my website at dstokes.org and just send me an email there. If you'd like to do that, of course, my books can be found on my website as well at dstokes.org and at amazon.com. So any of those ways, follow me on Instagram at Dr. D. Stokes. Follow me on Twitter at D. Stokes. Follow me on Facebook at D. Stokes. And hopefully I'm trying to fast from social media right now during Lent, so I haven't been on as much. And hopefully that'll be a way of life because I've sometimes social media can consume you. But I've still
thing.
But I still do weekly messages on Facebook. So check us out there.
Yeah, amen. I learned that, you know, if you just allow it to, you'll go an hour or two on social media stuff, and then you look at the clock and like, wow, and I've got like zero work done during those 2 hours.
Right, absolutely.
Amen. Anyway, well, folks, that is all the time we have for today. Dee, it's been great to talk to you again, and let's not wait
you
another
too.
2 years to do this again, okay?
Sounds good. God Amen. Bless you, Bob.
Amen. Thank you. For Dr. Dee Stokes, myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.